All right, everybody, we're going to go ahead and get started. So we're taking a step back. Last week we were in Lord's Day 37. We skipped over 36, and now we're back on 36. Both of them are going to pertain to one another in that they're both about the third commandment. So we'll be on Lord's Day 36 today. But before we begin, let me open us in a word of prayer. Lord, I just praise you that you would wake us this morning, that you would give us the opportunity to come and read your word, to see what you say about yourself, that we would know more and more who you are, that would give us great trembling to understand even in more detail who you are in your name, your holiness, your perfections, and all that you are, and how we are to hallow that name. And not out of duty anymore, but because this is our great joy to love you and to see you for who you are, because we know that you are good. So, Lord, I just pray you'd open our ears and our hearts to more truth this morning and grow us in our faith in who you are and what you've done. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So Lord's Day 36, I'm going to read the whole thing, both questions and answers, and then we'll go back and look at the scripture. But the third command is what? What would be the third commandment? Right, don't take the Lord's name in vain. So the catechism likes to use the word misuse, right? I think that's a good idea, misuse the name of the Lord. And there's many implications of misuse that is talked about, but just making sure that we all understand what that third commandment is. So Lord's Day 36, question 99. What is God's will for us in the third commandment? Answer, that we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God by cursing, perjury, or unnecessary oaths, nor share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. In a word, it requires that we use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe so that we may properly confess him, pray to him, and praise him in everything we do and say. And then question 100, is blasphemy of God's name by swearing and cursing really such serious sin that God is angry also with those who do not do all they can to help prevent it and forbid it? Uh-oh. Yeah, that one's... Let me read that question again, okay, in case you weren't paying attention. This one should grab your attention. Is blasphemy of God's name by swearing and cursing really such serious sin that God is angry also with those who do not do all they can to help prevent it and forbid it? Answer, yes, indeed. No sin is greater, no sin makes God more angry than blaspheming his name. That's why he commanded the death penalty for it. This is a serious, serious one, right? But again, we need to hear this not as law, but under grace, because we've gone from guilt, grace, and gratitude. This is what we long to do, right? This is going to be our true heart within this commandment. We want to fulfill this commandment, not out of duty, but out of a great love for God that he's birthed in us. So we want to make sure that we have that as kind of the framework here. So what's God's will for us in the third commandment? Let's go back to 99 and look at the scripture. Answer, so it basically the answer is based in two different kind of brackets. So what's God's will for us in the third commandment? Well, here's what you don't do. This is the first paragraph. And then the second paragraph will be, this is what you do, okay, or what you're going to want to do. So here's what you don't do, that we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God by cursing, perjury, or unnecessary oaths, nor share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. And that silent bystanders, that is going to go along with question 100. But that we neither blaspheme. What's blaspheme? What's blasphemy? Do we know? Okay. Good. So, yep. Blasphemy insulting, showing contempt, lack of reverence, right? Another definition, and I think this is kind of interesting too, the act of claiming the attributes of a deity. Okay, so when you blaspheme the holy God, you're actually probably claiming some of his attributes. I'm wiser than God. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting thought, really, when you think about what it is. But I think more along the lines of what Sarah was saying is probably usually the idea here, right? They're showing contempt, a lack of reverence, we're lying about God, you know. The line's going to go more along the lines with perjury, right? But that we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God by cursing. Look at... if you want to turn to Leviticus, actually, this is going to be a quick one here. So Leviticus, well, actually, go ahead. Turn to Leviticus 24. This is a longer one. The second one's a little bit shorter. Now, in this one, and we're going to be repeating this scripture and another one in Leviticus in the next question. But this is a serious story about someone who blasphemed, cursed the name of God, and then there is a penalty for it. Before we read it, anybody know what that penalty is? Death. Stoning by death, right? So Leviticus 24, verses 10 through 17. Now an Israelite woman's son, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the people of Israel. And the Israelite woman's son and a man of Israel fought in the camp. And the Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name and cursed, the name being the name of God, and cursed. Then they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in custody till the will of the Lord should be clear to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Bring out of the camp the one who cursed, and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And speak to the people of Israel, saying, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. Whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him, the sojourner as well as the native. When he blasphemes the name, shall be put to death." Okay, so pretty serious. Pretty serious. So the blasphemy and the cursing is basically saying something that God's not who he says he is, right? It's basically what it is. God's not who he says he is. He hasn't done what he said he's done. You're belittling. You're not showing the reverence and the awe that God requires and demands because he's God. Okay? Perjury. So that would be lying about what you know to be true. Okay? So if you think about perjury, if you're on a witness stand and someone asks you a question and you lie under oath, that's perjury. Right? So... did you see that man rob the store? You did, but no, I didn't see him. Perjury, right? Because you've made a promise, an oath. I will tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. Perjury, right? So this is the idea. Lying about what we know to be true. Footnote 2, Leviticus 19, you can turn a little bit to the left, 19:12. You shall not swear by my name falsely. And so profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. Or unnecessary oaths. So what's God's will for us? That we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God by cursing. Perjury. So saying something about God that's not true. And then these unnecessary oaths. Now remember last week we saw that, can we swear an oath? Can we swear an oath? Yes. If the law demands it, right? When the government demands it or when necessity requires it. But really, the idea is don't make any unnecessary oaths, right? Like you're saying to a friend, I swear, you can finish it, right? You don't need to do that. Scripture is very clear. What? Exactly. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. You don't need to swear with that. Don't make an unnecessary oath. Because what happens, as John was saying, that oath that you're making, there are grave consequences because you're invoking one who is great and awesome and saying, I swear by that name that I'm going to do this. And then when you don't, you're making God into a liar. Okay? So it like this unnecessary oath thing, just don't make them unless the government requires or demands it. And maybe there's a necessity for it in a situation. But unnecessary oaths. This would be Matthew 5:37, and then again in James, but we'll just do Matthew. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. It's pretty cut and dried. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Can you do it? Yes. Or can you do it? No. Did you see this? Yes. Were you witness to this? No. Yes or no. You don't need to swear. Unnecessary oaths. Nor share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. Leviticus 5:1, if you want to turn a little bit more to the left in Leviticus. And this will come up, this is the other one that's going to come up in the second question. Leviticus 5:1, if anyone sins in that he hears a public adjuration to testify, and though he is a witness, whether he has seen or come to know the matter, yet does not speak, he shall bear his iniquity. Okay, so let's figure out what the words mean here. If anyone sins in that he hears a public adjuration, what's an adjuration? Okay, so an adjuration would be, let's say there's a crime that happens. Did anybody see this? Did anybody see that crime? Okay, that's the adjuration. A call to find out if you saw that happen, right? So, if anyone sins in that he hears a public adjuration to testify, and though he is a witness, so now you've seen this, whether he has seen or come to know the matter, yet does not speak, he shall bear his iniquity. So, not only are we talking about seeing something, but we're also talking about hearing something, right? You come to know this, but you've heard somebody say something. So, the adjuration to testify, really in this case, is coming from God, right? You've heard this. You've heard somebody say something about my name. Why would you not stand up for me, right? Okay, so if you hear this, and in our case here, this is not the law. This is our desire, right? So let me give you an example. And you know, guys are really big with this. Growing up, don't you dare say something about my mom. Don't say something about my mom. I'm going to take you out back if you say something about my mom. Why? What are you protecting? Is your mother some perfect person? You're protecting her name. That's my mother. That's my mother. She gave me birth. She gave me everything. She feeds me. She takes care of me. She loves me. She's not perfect, but she's my mother. Don't you dare say anything about my mother. Right? So we have this, it rises up, wells up in us. How much more the God of creation who gives everything, life and breath, right? When we hear somebody say something that we know not to be true, and we just stand there and maybe even laugh. We hear a joke, right, that somehow profanes or misuses the name of the Lord, or at best misrepresents him. And we just stand around and it just goes off our back. Oh, well, okay. They don't know, but I'm not going to say anything. We need to say something. Okay, and that's going to speak to question 100 as well. But let's look in the what we do here. So what's God's will for us? In a word, it requires that we use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe so that we may properly confess him, pray to him, praise him in everything we do and say. Before we go on to that, it strikes me in this first part that we can't read this first part of that we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God by cursing, perjury, or unnecessary oaths, nor share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. By the way, we've all done those, and Christ has bore the penalty for every single one of them. He bore that penalty for every single one of those sins, right? So we need to remember that. Christ has fulfilled this perfectly when we didn't. And then when we didn't, he bore the penalty for us, for our cursing, for our misuse of his name. So what we're going to do, in a word, it requires that we use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe. Footnote 5, this is Psalm 99. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He's exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. The king in his might loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. In a word, it requires that we use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe. Okay? The Lord is God. I mean, and we're going to go into a whole bunch of his names. Because the idea of, like, what's in a name? I mean, it's only God. We're just saying the word God or Lord. What? I mean, why would that matter? I mean, we need to think about it. Why does it matter if we profane the name of the Lord? It's only a name. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. We've been taught that, right? So why does that matter that somebody says something against the name of the Lord? Yes, that's it. Tammy said, his name represents who he is. Just like, what does the name Jesus mean? Savior. What does Christ mean? Anointed one, Messiah. He is what his name says he is. He is Savior. Jesus, Savior. Christ, a name above all names. Right. Christ, anointed one. Anointed for what? To be Messiah, to save people from their sins, to come and bear the penalty that we deserve. Anointed to do this by God the Father. He is who he says he is. God is who he says he is. His name is not just a name. It's all-encompassing as who he says he is. So when his name is profaned, people are actually profaning who God actually is. And misusing the name. They're saying, no, he's not who he says he is. Nope, that's not him. He's lying. He's not that. Footnote 6. So in a word, it requires that we use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe so that we may properly confess him. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Properly confess him, right? Father, he's in heaven. He's God. Pray to him. Psalm 50. Oh, I'm sorry, let's go 1 Timothy 2:8. I desire then that at every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. And why do we pray? What's the purpose? Why does God want us to pray as part of using his holy name, right? We're talking about why would that be involved in this commandment? What's the point of praying? Okay, to talk to God. Why else? Confess our sins. Good. Go to him. Do we have any needs? We're all need, right? So we go to him as a loving father, saying, please meet my needs in Christ, right? So, you know, we pray in worship, representing this holy name. God, you're God of all creation. You're a Savior. You're Lord. You are just. You're so merciful, though. You're everything that he is, right? We're praying to him. And then we're invoking, we're praying to him saying, Lord, meet my need because you're the only one that can. Right? We're not going to him saying, God, I'm not sure if you can do this. Maybe you can. Like, what kind of prayer is that? That's misuse of the name of the Lord. Right? He can do anything he wants. He's God. So, we properly confess him, pray to him, and praise him in everything we do and say. Colossians 3, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father, through him. So again, this is great, but we fail in it. You failed. I failed. We're deserving of death because we misuse the name of the Lord. We've probably done it today. Because, by the way, anybody in here ever been anxious? Worried about something? Never. Cheryl has never been anxious or worried. I love that. Yeah, we obviously, you know, dumb question. We all have. By the way, you're misusing the name of the Lord. Because you're saying something about God that you're saying, I don't know if he can handle this situation. And what does the Bible say? Cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Why are you anxious about anything? I mean, look how he's clothed the lilies of the field. How much more does he love you and will clothe you? Why are you anxious? I don't know. I don't know if I believe that. If only I had more money in my bank account. Misusing the name of the Lord. I mean, we think about it. We don't necessarily think about it. We just think about, oh, those people that are taking the name of the Lord in vain, using the name of Jesus or God or whatever. That encompasses some of it. But let's think as a believer about this. We first want to say, Christ has paid the penalty for me when I have misused the name of the Lord. And I don't want to do that. Because I don't want to question who he is. He is who he is, and I believe that, and I love it. And it's because of who he is that I can even pray to him and confess him as Lord. It's because of what he's done. He's merciful. He's gracious. Yes, he's just, perfectly just. But he was just in having his son pay the penalty. So now that penalty is paid, and now I can come to him and proclaim who he is. So, question 100, because we're almost at time here. Is blasphemy of God's name by swearing and cursing really such serious sin that God's angry also with those who do not do all they can to help prevent it and forbid it? Yes, indeed. And here's our scripture again from Leviticus. If anyone sins, 5:1, if anyone sins that he hears a public adjuration and testify, and though he's a witness, whether he's seen or come to know the matter, yet does not speak, he shall bear his iniquity. Okay, so I would encourage you. God has changed our heart in such a way that our true nature is one that loves him above all else. No matter what your feelings tell you on a certain day, if you are a child of God, he has taken out the heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. The law is not some kind of taskmaster now. The law is what you delight in. You delight in having his name be hallowed. You delight in that. That's who you are. So, if that's the case, remembering that, and when others are taking that name in vain, wait, that's my Savior. That's the one who's pulled me out of the pit. That's the one who has granted me all things in Christ. You don't know him. I want you to know him. If you knew him, you would never say that. Instead of, how dare you speak about that? Oh, stone him. He needs to be stoned. Let's view those people with these broken hearts because we're that same person on the other side of the cross, right? We're that person that misused the name of the Lord that is deserving of stoning. And yet, he saw fit to offer us grace in Christ. So that type of mindset, stepping up and saying something, it doesn't have to be in pride. It should be in humility. You don't know my Savior. If you did, you would never say that. You would never say that. Let me tell you who he is. Now, that's pie in the sky, by the way. I mean, that's great. It's great hyperbole coming out of my mouth. And chances are, you know what? We may not do that. We're just going to sit on our hands and say, I know I was told I should say something. I know I should say something. The more you know God, right, the more you seek hard after Christ, the greater your desire is going to be to be one who is going to say something. If God is not really, he's just God. So, look, they're unbelievers. I mean, I expect that from unbelievers. I expect that from other people too. I mean, believers, look, everybody sins. If it's a believer, everybody sins. I'm not going to, I've got my own set of issues. I'm not going to deal with that. And, he's God. He's not really offended by anything. Let's just go, before we wrap up, let me just read really quickly. Paul Washer's done a service. This is actually a great book called One True God. It's actually a study of who God is. Okay, but at the end of the book, he has about 4 pages of divine names, titles, and metaphors of God. So let me just read off a bunch here. Name that reflect God's glory and majesty. God of gods, God of glory, God in heaven above, on earth beneath, invisible God, blessed God, majestic glory, majesty in the heavens, he who is to be feared. All those have scripture references, by the way. Names that reflect the eternality of God, everlasting, eternal God, ancient of days, I am, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Names that reflect the holiness and justice of God, the Holy One, Holy God, Jealous God, God of justice, Righteous God, Righteous Judge. Names that reflect the power and sovereignty of God, Creator, Architect and Builder, Possessor of heaven and earth, Potter, Mighty One, God of all flesh, God of all the earth, God of all the kingdoms of the earth, Mighty God, Great and Awesome God, Great, Mighty and Awesome God, Great God and King above all gods, Great King over all the earth. It goes on and on and on. This is God. Names that reflect God's relationship with his people. True God. Creator. Faithful Creator. Maker. And then God is intimate with his people. He's not this far off God. He's Father. Holy Father. Righteous Father. Father of all mercies. Father of glory. Heavenly Father. Father of spirits. Abba Father. He's God, and there is no other. So when we misuse the name of the Lord, or others do, they're saying that God is a liar. He's not who he says he is. And that's why it's so serious. Because God is jealous for his name. And we love that he's jealous for his name. We love that. Because there is no greater thing that God can do than give himself to us and reveal himself to us. That is the greatest thing that we could ever have. And when we place our hope in something else, when we're anxious, we're misusing the name of God because we're saying that he's not who he says he is. He's not a provider for me. He's not my father. I mean, he's let me down. Look at my life. He's let me down. Instead of remembering, wait, he's working all things for my good. No, that's a lie. This isn't good. There's no way that's good. Misusing the name of God. Misusing. So I want this one to sit on us because, I mean, it sits on me. But I want it to sit on us with hope in that now this law is written on our heart and it's what we delight in. We delight in hallowing the name of the Lord. We delight in being jealous over the name of God. This is our delight because this is who we are. We love God because he's changed our hearts. Question, Sarah? Right, yeah, and now, this is specific to the word. However, the idea is, yes, we are doubting who God says he is. And if we've already stated that God is all, the name of God encompasses all that he is, if we're doubting part of who he is, we're doubting the name of God, right? We're misusing this name. We're saying that's not the name of what he says. We're now making God into our image. What's that?
And saying that he's not capable of dealing.
Right. Right. Exactly. Other questions? Because we're going to wrap up. All right. So next week we go into the fourth commandment. And we're looking forward to all of this. Again, as we go in these commandments, they're not burdensome. This is what we delight to do. Because Christ has fulfilled all of this for us, and so we look to him. We look to him in all things. Let me pray. Lord, I just praise you for your word. I praise you for the truth of it. I do pray, Lord, that you would give us a greater sight of yourself, that we would know more and more your name, that we would believe more and more in who you are and who you say you are, Lord, that you would just kill unbelief in us, that you would just kill that and reveal what truth is, that you are true. And everything you say, you're holy, you're perfect in all that you are. So we praise you. I pray that as we go into our service, Lord, that you would continue to open our ears to truth and grow us in our faith as you exalt your Son, Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.